What's up? Hello? Y'all doing all right this morning? Y'all aren't dead this morning, are you? Vicky's not. We're in good shape. As long as Vicky is not dead, the rest of us are good, because I promise you she can carry the load. The bleacher people are growing. Look at them. They have grown in number and in stature. There are more of them than we've ever seen before, because I guess we're running out of seats again. And that's a good thing. Wonderful thing. Isn't that cool? That's super cool. I want to say just a quick thank you to everybody that's been able to get up to the building this week and work. It is unbelievable what is going on up there. I mean, you know, and you think, you know, some of you say, well, I was there middle of the week, whatever. I'm telling you what, you hadn't seen nothing until you see it, you know, now, or what it's going to look like here in a few more days. We are going to be doing some more work there this week, 7 o'clock at night. If you can get there during the daytime, there is stuff to do, you know, and you're welcome to do that. Just let us know, and we'll try to put something in your hands so that you can do something. We really need to try to get as much work done this week as possible. We're hinging on scissor lifts that, you know, scissor lifts that go up and down. We have several of those in the building, but they are there because we have crews in there working, not because we rented them. So at night and whatnot, it is great to use them, because we've got a lot of high ceilings and things that need to be cut in. But if we're not careful, those crews are going to be gone, and we're going to be out the scissor lifts. So, you know, we've got multiple of them right now. If you can come this week, that'd be awesome. It is very doable that the whole thing be painted this week. And that would be awesome. So it's really cool to get to see it come together. I have spent a lot of time there, as you can probably imagine, during the day and at night. And at some point, it just seems like every day there is always like this moment where I have this realization of kind of what's really happening. You know, and it's not a building thing. It's not that, you know, my dream or my vision has ever been that, you know, we have to have this big honking building or whatever, but to see God work and provide when we are about to not have somewhere else to meet. And that's the blessing in this. And I think all of us that are parents, and I'm a parent, I can get this. I think those of you that are parents and along with me are going to be so appreciative of the time and the thought and the effort that has just gone into just even the kids' portion of this building is amazing. So it's good stuff. It's been an exciting week. It's been a long week because many of us have been working up there day and night and just running around and getting paint and everything else. But it's been an awesome week. And I just share that with you for those of you that haven't gotten to be around. I do encourage you, like Joey said, to run by there and check it out if you get a chance. This morning we're actually going to be talking about something that many of you that have been at 24, you've heard a dozen times probably. But I don't want you to check out on me. It'd be real easy just to go, you know what, I've heard Chris talk about this 1,000 times. And you know, it's one of those things that we really can't do it enough. And that's just constantly going back to what God has called us to as a church. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. We're going to be talking about the vision of 24 Church and how God has called us to believe in that. Because that is the vision He's given us. And so, you know, as we'll be hitting this morning, if you're a newbie and you've never gotten to hear us talk about that, which there is a lot of you here that are in that boat, by all means, tune in. And if you've been here for 1,000 years or just the three, you know, tune in again, because I just got to tell you, it challenges me where I'm at, and I'm the one that teaches it. So we're gonna do that. I want us to pray right now, and we'll get into this, okay? God, thank you so much for what you're doing in our church, in your church. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would follow you. God, we don't want to try to lead you to do things, Lord. We want you to lead us to do things. And Lord, in that, God, I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would just abandon everything that's about this world, and that our hearts would just be solely in tune with you. That our desires are the same desires of you. God, we read in Scripture that you are asking us and telling us that if we will ask you to do great things that are in accordance with your will, God, that you'll do them. God, we're praying those prayers right now. God, for some of us, we're praying prayers for a loved one. For some of us, we're praying for our church, Lord, for you to do great things in it. Lord, for you and for your kingdom and for your glory and for your fame and not for ours. God, for all of those prayers that are being lifted up today and that have been lifted up over this past week and these past couple of weekends together as a church, God, I lift them up to you again, God, and I just reiterate, God, that if they're in your will, that if you would so see it to happen, God, that you would hear the cries of our heart, God, that we could bend your ear and that we could understand how huge that is for us to get to do that. God, we thank you for letting us get to do that. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. I have worked in the local church for, I don't know how many years. I quit counting. But anyway, a long time, since I was 19 years old. I grew up a preacher kid. I learned how to pick the locks of all the offices and all of the places that I wasn't supposed to go in the church. Because that's what you do in the summertime when you have nowhere else to go and you're at the church. So you just go get into everything and you find all the Play-Doh and you mix it up, you know. And then so on Sunday morning, there's not pink Play-Doh anymore, it's all black Play-Doh. And church has just been a huge part of my life. To the point that the first part of my life, I was just kind of into this whole, like, I'm in the motion and I'm at church, and because I'm at church, I'm okay. And, you know, I went through some motions at one point in my life and believed that I was okay. But later God showed me that that wasn't true because I'd never given my heart to Him. And all of the years that I worked in the local church, I kept seeing, and Lord knows there's tons of issues with our church. If you're looking for a perfect church, go somewhere else. This isn't it. But I kept seeing these things in the local church that I was working in, and I was getting privileged to work at some great churches with some great pastors and great ministers. But in the midst of getting to work at these great churches, I kept seeing things that were kind of breaking my heart. And I was a student pastor, I was a youth pastor, I was working with teenagers. And, you know, the greatest thing I think that ever happened to the local church is student ministry. And the reasoning behind my reason for saying that is because student ministers years ago just kind of got the okay. It didn't matter what the church looked like. It didn't matter if they were traditional or if they were, you know, the edgiest thing that has come along since sliced bread. But that they were getting the okay. Youth ministers were getting the okay to do different types of things to reach kids. And so I found myself just kind of with the blank slate of getting the okay of just doing whatever it took to reach kids. And so I just did. You know, we did the dumbest stuff sometimes. I would have kids, people hear us kid about this, but it's really not even really, I mean, we are kidding about it, but it really happened. I mean, you know, we would do stuff like bring kids up on stage every once in a while. Like this big thing we called Crazy Night. And the whole idea of this thing was it was like Fear Factor at church. So I don't know how you feel about Fear Factor at church, but that's what we were doing. And it was like once every few months or whatever. And you would not believe how many kids would come to this thing. And we would do this, and basically the whole premise of those nights, Crazy Night, was we would get kids to come on stage and do like the dumbest stuff. They would eat stuff. And we would like pour stuff all over them, and I'll be honest with you, part of the goal was to see if you could get a kid to puke, and you had trash cans everywhere, okay? And I had a nurse standing by, you know, I never did anything that was, you know, too off the wall, and, you know, sometimes she was looking at me weird, but anyway, you know, we did this stuff, and at the end of the night, after we'd done all this crazy stuff, and like the last one of these things we did, I think we had like over 300 teenagers come to this thing. And the last, you know, at the very last of each crazy night, the very last thing that we did was I would just like come down off the stage for just a minute, and I would just talk for like 10 minutes about who Jesus was and that He loved them and that He wanted to know them and He wanted a relationship with them and that they could make that happen right then and there. And every time, we'd see kids come to Christ. It was an amazing thing. I mean, it was like this, you know, how in the world God could use this, you know, crazy mess to do this other. Somewhere in there, I started, and this is, you start treading dangerous ground when you really start asking God some serious questions about things like this. And I started treading that ground and asking God, why is the rest of our church not working like that? Why is it okay for the youth pastor to do what it takes to reach teenagers, but it's not okay for the rest of the church to be looking like we're going to do whatever it takes to reach our community that is going unchurched? And so it began. God began working in my heart, and I'll just be honest with you, I said forever, I will never be a pastor. Don't ever tell God you will never do something. Don't be that stupid. I am. I still do it from time to time. But anyway, I told God, you know, I don't ever want to do that, God. That was Dad's gig. He does a good job at it. I love him for it. Everybody else loves him for it. You love him for it. He's loved. I don't want it. And God began to have some things happen in my life and showed me some stuff, and just kind of like a snowball effect occurred. And God began to give me the vision for something that He wanted us to do, that even to this day, I've never even fully explained the whole thing to people, because it's happening right before my eyes in stages, and it's so amazing to see it. The reason that we're talking about this today is because we're in this series, Believe, and this series so far has been really kind of asking the question, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? And of course, so many people, well, I'm at church, of course, you know, or, you know, maybe you don't, I don't know. But I think for so many of us, and even Christians, we are so susceptible to falling into this place where we are going through motions, but our belief in God has quit taking hold of our lives. At that point in my life, I was a little bit stronger in my faith than I have been at other points in my life. And I thank God for that. Because as I began to ask God questions about His church and what He wanted my family to do in ministry, I begin to see God say things and show me things about what could be in ministry that I knew were true. And call it stupidity or call it, you know, obedience or whatever, we followed through with some of that. And I can't say that about a lot of my life, but I can say it about that one thing. And we followed through. And our following through with that has turned into what would eventually become 24 Church. And so the question that I have for you today that I'm kind of posing to kind of go along with this is okay, maybe you've reconciled that yes, you believe in God and that your belief in Him, you're going to allow it to really rule you. You're going to allow your belief in God to really do something in your life and not just be another church attender, chair setter, bench warmer person. No offense to the bench warmers. But if that's true for you and for your life, then the vision that God has given us for 24 Church should match the vision that you have in your life of what God is calling you to in ministry. It's easy to come to a happening place. Where the rubber meets the road is where we begin to not just serve, not just give. That yes, those things are part of it, but that's not it today. The rubber meets the road when we become the church, and the church is out there. You see, we didn't start a church because Pleasant View needed another church building, per se. We started a church because we knew that there were tons of people that were unchurched that were not going to go anywhere else. You say, well, you know, this is the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you didn't know, that 86% of our community is unchurched. That's a pretty high percentage. I mean, that's way up there. I mean, when we did a census one time, before we started the church, just within 5 miles of Pleasant View Elementary, where our first church home was, if you will, meeting place, within 5 miles of that place at that time, and even at that, I think it was a couple years old of a census, there were supposedly 10,000 people living within 5 miles of that school. Has anybody seen any 10,000 people churches anywhere nearby? Because I want people to know this, especially with us going into this building. I want people to know that my heart is not to build big buildings. My heart is to reach as many people as we possibly can while we have the time to run the race. I begin reading passages of Scripture like this passage right here in Mark 12. And in Mark 12, we see this passage. It says in Mark 12, and I'm going to go ahead and jump to verse 30. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." That is Jesus giving us what he calls the greatest commandment. Not second commandment, not, you know, this is one of ten, this is, you know, this is Jesus going, this is the deal. You know, and what I, let's leave that up there for a second. You know what I constantly see are people and ministries that are constantly like, you know, they're plugging themselves. And we advertise and stuff, and just so you know, that's just a ploy for us to try to get people to come in the doors. But we are never going to be about ourselves as a church. Our church is always going to be about that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And there's not a thing in that passage of Scripture that says, build yourself a kingdom. That passage of Scripture is screaming, build my kingdom. God is saying, build my kingdom. And that's hard for us because that's not about us. That's not who we are. Our sinful nature wants to make it about us. We want to make it about who we are, and we want to get credit for, you know, what we've done. We have some, you know, I'm so thankful we have some of the most humble people as a part of our church. I mean, absolutely unbelievable to me, some of the people that God has allowed, like the giftedness of some of them. He is going to kill me for doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just this weekend, you may or may not have known, but there are Emmy nominations that take place, and we have a guy in our church by the name of Jerry Walker, and he does all the video stuff. You see the video stuff that he does? Well, that's what he does for a living. In real life, he works for a news channel. We won't promote him. That's for you, Jerry, since you're going to be mad at me for doing this anyway. Jerry was nominated for five Emmys. Now, he wouldn't tell anybody that unless we just like beat it out of him. We knew he was going to be gone for it, but he wouldn't like talk about it. So I told him yesterday, I said, hey, you know, call me and let me know how it goes. We want to know how it goes, you know? And, oh, yeah, okay. Did I get a phone call? No. So what'd I do? Well, I was checking my mic right here this morning. I picked up my cell phone and I said, hey, what's going on? Oh, we're getting ready for church. Well, cool. Good deal. How'd it go last night? Well, I won one. And how awesome is that? You know, And I'm just, again, he's going to kill me for telling you all that, and it's amazing that he is so humble in that way. But I see that, and I see the humility that Christ has called us to. I'm telling you a story about God giving me the vision of 24 Church, but I want you to understand something. I could not do this by myself. This is not because of Chris Royalty today. This is not me. This is not my doing. You say, well, Chris, you were a part of it. Yes, I was a part of it. I can admit to that. I can take the blame for a lot of screw-ups with it, too. But our understanding that God has called us to be humble people that come to God and we're about putting Him first. That passage of Scripture is the first thing. If you got the worship guide with you there this morning, there's three little things there. And the first one, it says, reach up. And reach up is that passage right there. It is worship. Worshiping God. God has called us to a life of worship. That is what our life is about. That's what our church should be about. We should be a worshiping church. Not just this morning, not just because we're talking about it, not just because we get jacked up because we love the song that's being played, but because that's what we've been called to do. You see, here's the trick. Every single one of us is worshiping all the time. Every single minute of the day, we are worshiping something. And whatever is going on that moment in our life, whatever is sitting on that little throne, whatever is getting our adoration is what we're worshiping. Now, we don't realize that, but God wired us up to do that so that we would seek Him and that we would worship Him with everything that we've got. So that we would love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And that's hard to do, but that's what we've been called to. Secondly, another passage of Scripture that I was reading during this time of my life of just trying to kind of figure all this stuff out was a passage of Scripture out of the book of Matthew. This passage out of the book of Matthew is one of those key passages to our faith. And it says in the book of Matthew, in verse 20, in chapter 28, it says in verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, when you do Fear Factor at church, you get some crazy looking people coming to church. You know what I'm talking about? People with like weird color hair. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. You get some crazy looking people. You know, this was probably one of my biggest hang-ups because my heart is that I so long for the day that our church is not full of one race. I so long for the day that we don't look alike. And for this reason, so that anyone that would walk in the door, that they would feel that this could be their home and not go, well, there's not really anybody like me there. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be ourselves. We should be ourselves. And I think a lot of times because we're not ourselves, sometimes is why they don't come back. But that go and make disciples of all nations, that's a huge deal. If you look in your worship guide again, the next thing down there, it says, reach out. We have been called to do this thing that makes us very uncomfortable because we are so in a comfort zone. We get so into these places where, you know, we're just, you know, I'm here and I'm comfortable here and I don't want to change, you know, what's going on. And, you know, if I invite somebody to come with me to church, well, then I've got to kind of hang out with them and those people kind of get on my nerves and, you know, all this stuff. You know what? I understand. It's okay. I don't like everybody either. But you know what? God has called us to love everyone and to do everything that we can to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not even going to get into the missions aspect of that, but I think everybody that's been coming to 24 for a little while knows that our heart is heavy for missions and that all nations deal. It's not just all nations around us, it's all nations. It's that it is our responsibility to take the gospel to every single living being. That passage of Scripture goes on to say something else. Right after that it says, and teaching, this is verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And in that passage of Scripture, right there, we see this teaching part of this. You see, our church is called to reach up, we're called to reach out, and we're called to reach in. And the reach up, of course, is worship. The reach out is evangelism. The reach in is discipleship. It's what happens in home teams. It's where people are coming together and they are studying the Word of God. It's what happens even better when it's like one-on-one. Somebody that's willing to mentor somebody that is a new Christian and maybe somebody that's been an older Christian. They're just going, you know what? God is leading me to mentor this person. And I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not no spiritual giant, Chris. Love that English, don't you? I'm not a spiritual giant, but I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be a spiritual giant to help someone grow in their faith in Christ. What God has called us to in reaching up and reaching out and reaching in is something that is attainable for every single one of us. And it's important for every one of us. It's important for us to worship. It's important for us to be a part of the process of building God's kingdom and reaching people that don't know Him. It's important for us to grow in our faith in Christ. Reach up, reach out, reach in. So, during that time of my life, when I was asking those questions and I was saying, God, you know, I long to see your church be what I'm reading in Acts. I long to be a part of ministry that is really doing these things that we've just been talking about. God, how in the world could you possibly lead us to do this? And it was a long turn of events, and a lot of stuff happened, you know, during that time in our life, and I'm going to spare you all the detail, but our understanding today that this church has been founded on these things, our understanding today that this church has been founded on the idea that we're not going to be about ourselves so much. Yes, we're going to ministry to each other. Yes, we're going to try to take care of each other. We're going to try to disciple one another. Those are important parts. But we're not just going to be about that. We are going to be about reaching other people. So I'm just going to ask you this morning. You know, you've heard me talk about us being a missional church, if you've been here very long. And being a missional church means that we have the mindset of a missionary. And that just like when we send a missionary overseas and we say, hey, you go learn that language, and then we're going to equip you to go overseas so that you can teach those people over there about who Jesus is. And that whole trip is not about you. Or that whole life, if you give your life to being a missionary, is not about you, which is what Megan is doing right now in Peru. You see, when we do that, and we say, you know, I'm going to be a part of this missional church, I want you to understand what comes with that. It's in turn saying, I want to in turn be a missionary to where I live. I'm not going to be spoon-fed. I'm going to feed myself some, and I'm going to get fed at my church. And I'm going to be a part of feeding other people, and I'm going to be a part of being a missionary to the people that I work with, the people I go to school with, everybody that God puts in my life. I'm going to see, finally, that there's a reason for that. How do I treat them? How do I talk to them? How do I look at them? That's being a missionary. And in turn, showing them Christ. And that's hard. But that's what this is about. I tell, you know, we have a lot of people come visit 24 Church, as you well know. And it's not everybody's church, and we know that. There's a lot of churches. We specifically were trying to do something that wasn't being done so that it could reach a group of people that weren't being reached. It's not that we're a better church than another church. But the biggest thing that I tell people when they come and visit, especially if they have come from another church, I say this to them right off the bat, and some of you have heard me say this to you. I say, I am so glad that you have, you know, been willing to come and visit us. It's always an honor when anybody does. If you're visiting here today, that's the way we feel. It's an honor that you've given up a morning to be here. But the thing that I tell church people, and I'm a church person, you just heard the story a little while ago, is this. Don't make 24 Church your home unless you're feeling called to be a missionary to your community. Because I'm just telling you, you don't want to be at a church where you don't jive with the vision of the thing. I mean, you're going to be miserable. God is going to constantly be like working on your heart, and you're constantly going to be saying no to Him. You don't want that. I'm telling you, you don't want that. So in essence, what I'm saying here today is that if you just want to be a bench warmer, then you might want to do it somewhere else. Because the vision that God has called us to is not something that we're just going to kind of go one day, oh, we finally reached our goal. Isn't it great? We had 500 people at church. That's great. Well, cool. We reached our goal. Now we don't have to work so hard anymore. No. I don't know about you, but I've got friends. I've got friends that when we were starting this church, I prayed, God, would you please allow me second chances in their lives to minister to them so that they could know you. And we've all got those people in our life. And I'm here today to tell you that God doesn't want us to give up on them. He doesn't want us to stop praying for them. He doesn't want us to stop loving them. He doesn't want us to stop teaching them and going to them. And He doesn't especially want us to stop showing them that we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. The vision of 24 Church is to be about going and reaching people. And it's about discipling people and growing strong Christians. But even more importantly, above all of it, it's about giving God the glory. It's about making Him famous, not 24 Church and not its pastors. It's about making God famous. I want to share with you a video this morning that we shot a while back that is me talking about something that happened before we started the church. And let's check that out together.